Welcome to a new deep dive on AI Unraveled, the podcast created and produced by Etienne Newman, who's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad from Canada. If you're eager to stay ahead in this fast-moving world of artificial intelligence, make sure you like and subscribe to AI Unraveled wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. So today we're jumping into, well, a snapshot of the latest AI buzz. We've got sources looking at the big announcements from Google I.O., the whole U.S. chip ban situation, what Apple might be doing with its AI for developers, and, you know, a bunch of other interesting bits and pieces. Our goal here is really to break down what these developments mean for you, give you the important shifts and insights without getting totally lost in the tech speak.
Yeah, it's definitely a busy time in AI, isn't it? Keeping track of everything. It's almost a full-time job. So yeah, we're here to help you sort of navigate all that and pull out what's really significant.
Exactly. Okay, so let's dive right in. Google I.O., it felt like the main theme was just .AI everywhere.
That's absolutely spot on. I mean, Google's announcements really hammered home how AI isn't just a feature anymore. It's becoming like the basic layer underneath everything they do. And the scoop of it is pretty amazing. It's really about changing how we interact with their main services, you know.
Right. And the big headline grabber was rolling out AI mode as the new default for Google search, at least in the U.S. That feels like a massive change in how we find stuff online.
Oh, it absolutely is. Forever, search has meant getting a list of blue links, right? AI mode, which uses their advanced Gemini models, wants to change that completely. Think of it less like searching, more like having a conversation with an assistant that can just give you the answer to complex questions. It does raise questions, though, you know, moving from actively looking for info to maybe more passively receiving it. How does that affect, say, critical thinking or the variety of sources we see?
So instead of clicking around, you ask something complicated and get like a summary answer straight up. The sources said it still gives web links and those interactive visual cards, though, which seems important for checking things.
Precisely. It's not meant to hide the web, more like give you a faster, fuller starting point. And because it's conversational, you can ask follow-up questions. It makes it way more interactive. Oh, and they quietly got rid of the I'm feeling lucky button. Seems small, but it really signals that AI-first approach for search now. The aim is clearly more direct, you know, comprehensive answers, not just links.
Okay. And speaking of Gemini, there were quite a few updates to the models themselves. Gemini 2.5 Pro sounds like it's pushing performance.
It does, yeah. The reports say 2.5 Pro is hitting top scores on industry benchmarks. It just shows how fast these things are improving. And it wasn't just the top model. They also boosted Gemini Flash, made it faster and more capable. So powerful AI gets into more places.
And this other one, 2.5 DeepThink, it's in testing. The name alone suggests, well, smarter reasoning.
Yeah, that's the fascinating part. The focus is specifically on advanced reasoning. DeepThink is apparently doing really well in things like math, coding, and what they call multimodal reasoning. That basically means it understands and connects different types of info, text, images, code to solve problems. It's a big step for tackling complex stuff.
And for mobile, Gemma 3N, that's an open model aiming to compete with bigger ones.
Exactly. Gemma 3N is designed for running right on your phone, but it's still aiming to be as good as, say, Claude 3.7 Sonnet. That could really, you know, bring powerful AI directly to our devices. Think about tasks that need the cloud now. Maybe they could happen instantly, privately, right on the phone. Plus, they're rolling out Gemini Live for free with camera and screen sharing, another step towards more integrated, personal AI.
So Google isn't just upgrading the AI engines, they're weaving them right into search itself. Features like Deep Search, the embedded Gemini Live, virtual try-on, even agentic shopping assistants. What's the overall play here?
Well, if you look at the big picture, it's about making search less reactive, you know, more like a proactive helper. Deep search probably aims to find more subtle, less obvious info. The virtual try-on, the shopping agent, that suggests a future where AI doesn't just find product info, but helps you interact with it, like a super smart personal shopper. And search live, using voice and visuals for real-time queries. That points towards a more natural way to search.
Okay. And for developers, this coding agent, Jules, is in public beta now, and AI helping with code right in the background.
Yeah, that could be a huge productivity booster, automating some of the repetitive coding grind. And crucially, it integrates with existing code bases, so it understands the project's context. This kind of AI help could let developers focus more on the creative, strategic parts of building software.
Hmm. Makes sense. And if you are a developer wanting to get up to speed on AI, remember Etienne Newman's study guides, like the Azure AI Engineer Associate AI 102 study guide. It's available over at dimgates.com, and we'll put the links in the show notes for you.
Good point. But maybe the most forward-looking bit was agent mode, coming to Search and Gemini, handling up to 10 tasks at once.
10 tasks simultaneously.
Wow.
Wow. That sounds like a big jump towards AI assistants that do things on their own.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, agent mode, managing multiple things at once. It suggests AI that helps you achieve goals more proactively with less direct steering from you. Huge implications for how we might use tech down the line.
So summing up the Google I/O stuff, it really feels like they're fundamentally rebuilding search around conversational AI.
Exactly. It's not just bolted on. It's woven into the fabric. And that could totally change how we find and interact with information online.
All right, let's pivot a bit. Google's creative AI tools. There was news about a video model, VO3, that can generate synchronized audio. That sounds tricky.
It's really remarkable, yeah. Adding synchronized audio sound effects, background noise, even dialogue generated with the video, that's a huge leap. Because getting good synced audio has always been a separate, often difficult step in AI video. It opens up a lot of creative doors.
And it wasn't just VO3. VO2 got updates, too. Aimed more filmmakers.
Yeah.
Like, better consistency.
That's right. Things like keeping characters and scenes consistent, controlling camera movements. These give filmmakers much more fine-grained control within the AI video world, addresses key issues in making coherent visuals, and the editing features, in painting and outpainting, add more flexibility after generation.
Sounds powerful. For anyone wanting to really understand the AI behind tools like this, Etienne Newman's Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification Guide could be really helpful. Again, djamgadtech.com, link in the show notes.
And for still images, Imagen 4, better quality, details, even text.
Yeah, finer details, handling typography accurately and supporting 2K resolution. That's getting pretty close to professional quality, isn't it?
Absolutely. Those improvements, especially with text and resolution, make Imagen 4 a much more serious tool for high quality visuals. And then there's Flow, a new platform to kind of bring all these creative AI tools together.
Flow, letting you create scenes just by describing them.
Mm-hmm.
And manage characters and styles. That sounds like it could really streamline things for creators.
It could, yeah. By letting people use natural language for scene ideas and then manage the whole project, characters, settings, look, and feel, Flow might make filmmaking more accessible and efficient. And offering these through the new Google AI Ultra plan and the Vertex platform shows they're serious about both individual creators and big companies. But yeah, that synchronized audio you mentioned earlier, that's the real game changer here.
Okay, shifting focus again. Beyond screens. Google officially announced Android XR, their platform for extended reality, and showed off smart glasses they're working on with Samsung. Feels like Google's getting back into the XR game seriously.
It does, and the key thing seems to be the deep Gemini AI integration. Think about getting real-time info overlaid on what you see, or instant translations, or help based on your context,
yeah.
All right in your glasses. That's the promise.
So not just phone notifications on your face, but actual intelligence built into your eyewear. And they're making the Android XR platform open for other companies too.
Yes, exactly. That open approach could really help drive adoption and get more innovation happening in XR. By offering developer kits, they're inviting others to build on the platform, create different kinds of Android XR devices. Google's definitely pushing back into XR, but this time with a very AI-first angle. It's all about merging digital info smoothly with the real world. And partnering with brands like Warby Parker for demos suggests they want these things to actually look good, too.
Interesting. Okay, let's switch over to Apple. Lots of talk that they might open up their Apple Intelligence platform to developers at WWDC. That would be a pretty big deal for them, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. A significant move. Apple usually keeps things pretty locked down. Opening up Apple Intelligence, probably with new APIs, SDKs would let developers build AI features, both on-device and maybe using cloud AI, into their apps. And there's chatter about potential partnerships, maybe with OpenAI or Anthropic, for the heavier AI lifting. That adds another interesting angle.
But knowing Apple, privacy would still be paramount, right? How do they balance opening up with keeping user data secure?
That's the million-dollar question. It's a crucial balancing act for them. They'll likely focus on enabling AI access in ways that heavily prioritize on-device processing and keep data anonymous. Privacy is their big differentiator, so any opening up will be very carefully designed to protect users while still letting developers create cool AI-powered apps. It's pretty essential for them to compete in the AI space by tapping into their huge developer community, but without compromising that core privacy promise.
Okay, let's talk hardware for a second. NVIDIA's CEO, Jensen Huang, apparently called the U.S. ban on exporting advanced AI chips to China a failure. That's quite a statement from him.
It is pretty strong, yeah. His argument basically is that the ban didn't really slow China down as intended. Instead, he says, it pushed China to invest heavily in its own chip industry, leading to stronger local competitors like Huawei. Plus, he pointed out, U.S. companies lost revenue because of the restrictions.
So the ban might have actually backfired, making China more self-reliant and competitive in the long run.
That's his take, yes. It really highlights how complex these tech export controls can be. Sometimes they have unintended consequences. It shows the tricky situation governments are in, trying to use trade rules to stay ahead technologically, because targeted countries often just double down on their own R&D.
Right. Okay, looking further out, Ray Kurzweil. He's still talking about AI and robotics helping humanity tackling big problems.
Yeah, Kurzweil's vision has been pretty consistent over the years. He sees AI and robotics as tools for, well, human good. His predictions are famous human-level AI by 2029, singularity around 2045. Very ambitious, obviously. But the core idea is AI helping us personally, boosting our abilities, and maybe solving huge issues in health, longevity, things like that. It connects to that whole AI for good movement, you know? The hope of developing AI focused on making lives better and fixing societal problems.
It's a good reminder, amidst all the hype, that a key goal for many is beneficial AI.
Definitely. The aspiration is systems that don't just push tech boundaries, but are fundamentally aimed at improving well-being and helping us solve tough challenges.
And speaking of practical uses, BMW is using an AI system, a Conic agent, for its purchasing and suppliers. That sounds like AI getting into the nitty-gritty of industry.
It is. What's interesting is using generative AI and NLP to sift through tons of data quickly. AI Conic agent aims to help make better decisions in BMW's really complex supply chain. They have specialized agents for things like quality control and buying support. The idea is it evolves from just finding info to actively helping monitor the supply chain, writing reports, even suggesting ways to optimize things. It's a great example of AI making complex industrial operations more efficient, data-driven, and hopefully more resilient.
And for those listening who want to understand how AI is changing different industries, Etienne Newman's AWS Certified AI Practitioner Exam Study Guide is a solid starting point. DJMGotTech.com, links in the show notes.
Good resource. Yeah, it shows AI moving beyond just consumer apps into core business functions.
Okay, briefly on AI regulation in the U.S. There's apparently strong pushback against a Republican idea for a 10-year pause on state and local AI rules. Sounds like a real disagreement there.
It does. Yeah, over 100 groups, civil rights, consumer protection, labor unions are opposing it. They argue that a federal ban would stop states from protecting people against AI harms like bias, job losses, or privacy issues. Their view seems to be that federal action is too slow or not enough, so states need to be able to act. Highlights the big debate. How do you balance innovation with safety and protection?
So it's that classic tension. Uniform federal rules versus state-level flexibility to address local concerns.
Exactly. It shows just how complex AI governance is, with very different priorities clashing. It'll definitely shape how AI develops and gets used in the U.S.
And on the national security front, the U.S. Geospatial Intelligence Agency wants to speed up its own AI development and use.
Right. The NGA director is stressing how crucial AI is for handling the enormous amounts of mapping and satellite data they deal with. They see AI as essential for staying ahead in intelligence, supporting security missions, and also for things like disaster response. It really underlined how vital AI is becoming for defense and intelligence in this age of massive data.
And finally, this story about an AI named Robin at Future House actually making a scientific discovery on its own. That sounds pretty wild.
It's quite something, yeah. Robin apparently came up with hypotheses, designed experiments, analyzed the data, even made research figures. Humans just did the lab work. And it identified a drug, ribosutyl, as a possible treatment for an eye disease, which lab tests then confirmed.
Yeah.
Shows AI's potential to really accelerate science. Plus, they're planning to open source Robin's code and data, which is great for the research community.
Wow. Okay. And just a quick rundown of a few other things we saw. Tencent's got an AI engine for making games. Hunyuan Game. Google announced Beam for turning 2D video into 3D.
An iAgent, a new open source agent framework, came out. Google Labs has Stitch for making UIs from text or images.
Plus, those reports about Apple maybe opening up its AI more, and Joni Ive, the famous iPhone designer, joining OpenAI. It's just nonstop.
It really is. Developments popping up everywhere. Gaming, video, basic AI tech, big industry names moving around. The pace is just incredible.
Well, that wraps up another deep dive. We covered a lot today, from Google's all-in AI strategy at I.O., to these tricky debates about regulation and chip competition, and AI showing up everywhere from search results to, well, maybe discovering new medicines.
And hopefully you now have a clearer picture of some of the key things happening right now in AI. Our aim was to boil it down, save you some time, and keep you informed.
Here's something to think about. As AI gets baked deeper into everyday tool search, maybe even glasses we wear, how does that change how we find information, how we understand the world? What are the implications? It's definitely something worth pondering. And one last time, if you are feeling inspired to dig into the technical side of AI, maybe get certified, definitely check out Etienne Newman's study guides. There's the Azure AI Engineer Associate AI 102, the Google Cloud Generative AI Leader, and the AWS Certified AI Practitioner. They're all at djamgate.com. And yes, the links are in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.